This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. It's time now for our Africa update. This week, election campaign violence in Sierra Leone ahead of the presidential runoff vote next month. In Nigeria, more unrest in the volatile oil-producing Niger Delta. Ghana strikes black gold, plus how cheeky monkeys in Kenya are terrorizing women. For more, I'm joined by NPR Africa correspondent Afebia Quist-Arkton. Afebia, it's great to talk with you again.
Always a pleasure.
So we don't hear much from or about post-war Sierra Leone, but the West African country is all over the news this week. Why?
Because Sierra Leone has managed to organize what observers from within and outside the country are calling very good elections. Now, that was a little while back. Meanwhile, the results are out. The parliamentarians have been announced, but the presidential election is going to a second runoff vote on the 8th of September, and that's where they've hit obstacles. There's been violence on Sunday and again on Monday between supporters of the main two rival candidates. The president, the outgoing president of Sierra Leone, Ahmed Tidjane Kaba, has given them a very stern warning.
All those responsible for the violence and lawlessness should be prepared for the consequences. Henceforth, government shall not hesitate one moment to declare a state of public emergency if the current state of intimidation, molestation, and violent acts is not stopped immediately.
Now, Farai, the opposition is saying that the president, who comes from the governing party, and it's his candidate, who's the outgoing vice president, Solomon Birawa, that they're making this announcement because they're worried that their candidate is going to lose the second round of the vote. So the opposition is saying there's absolutely no need for anything like a state of emergency. But the government is saying if this violence doesn't stop on all sides, we will intervene. The opposition saying if the president goes down that route, it means that he could just then extend his mandate because a state of emergency would mean that he could just stay on. So after a very good first round of elections, it looks now as if Sierra Leone has hit some problems.
So after the brutal civil war in Sierra Leone, how is the country doing?
It's picking up. There has at least been reconciliation. There's a war crimes tribunal that is actually taking people accused of atrocities during the civil war to court. And Sierra Leoneans say slowly things are mending, but they feel that the government of outgoing President Tidjane Kaba has not done enough. They cite corruption. They cite that the fundamentals, things like utilities, are not where they should be because Sierra Leone had so much goodwill after the end of the war. So I think there's a big question mark about what goes next, but there is peace for now.
So let's stay in West Africa, talking about Nigeria. There appears to be no end to clashes between militants and security forces in the Niger Delta. So can you bring us up to date on that?
Now it's the government which seemed to be going along the route of dialogue, saying enough is enough. They say there's been too much violence by the militants in this really volatile area of the country, which pumps the country's wealth, which is, of course, the oil, saying we are going to flush out, we are going to find those who are creating the unrest and the violence in River State and other areas of the Delta. Now, some people, including elders in River State, are saying what the region needs is emergency rule, is a state of emergency. Listen to this gentleman, Albert Hosford.
The proper thing to do for the sake of the people of River State, for some impartial person to take charge of River State, sanitize these militia people, flush them out of the system so that people can go about their business. People can buy and sell. People can trade. People can go to work.
But, you know, the response from the River State Information Commissioner, Emmanuel Oka, to Albert Hosford and other elders in the region who say that a state of emergency is needed is that emergency rule is out of the question and is not the answer.
And as elders, we expect that even if there are circumstances that have caused discomfort, it is their responsibility as elders to call these boys to order or to proffer solutions that will generate the kind of environment that will promote amity and unity amongst the people. At the point when everybody appears to be heaving a sigh of relief, somebody now comes from nowhere and says, go and bring back anarchy. Our conclusion is that these are indeed the true enemies of the people of the Niger Delta because they do not want peace.
So, Afebia, let's Keep traveling, jump over a couple borders, and talk about your home country of Ghana. You were there when the president reacted to the discovery of more oil. Tell us about that.
It looks as if Ghana is going to be joined the leagues of oil-producing countries. But President Kufuor says good news, but be careful.
Ghana deserves good news for a change. We've been suffering so much over the past decades. Now Ghana can proudly say that she has broken the jinx and she's joining the company of nations. So I want people to be reasonably optimistic, but not overly optimistic.
So Ghana looks as if it's going to become an oil producer. They found reserves of oil in shallow waters. Now the same company, Tullow Inc., says it seems to have found more oil in deeper waters. Ghanaians are pretty excited about the discovery of oil, but they also look to countries not so far away like Nigeria, we just spoke about, to Congo, Brazzaville, to other countries where oil has been more of a curse than a blessing. And everybody is saying, if indeed we have struck oil, let it be used for the benefit of Ghanaians, all Ghanaians, to develop the country and not just go into the pockets of the few to make them rich.
And you have a story for us now that probably you got to see to believe, but describe it to us. We're talking about monkeys in Kenya.
Indeed. Monkey business in central Kenya, where women are complaining that vervet monkeys just don't take them seriously, that they are eating their crops and even trying or potentially trying to attack them. Listen to these women. They sound genuinely concerned.
When we come to chase the monkeys away, we come dressed in trousers and hats so that we look like men. But the monkeys can tell the difference and they don't run away from us, especially the big ones. They just look at us and continue to eat the crops. The monkeys grab their breast and gesture at us while pointing at their private parts. Now we are even afraid that they will attack us or even sexually harass us because we hear they can do that.
We started wearing trousers so that we look like men and the monkeys would fear us. But now they can tell us apart. They point at their heads as if to say they are too clever for our tricks. They also point at our breasts. They know when it is the women who are wearing trousers. These monkeys are very clever.
Well, Ophebia, apparently man and primates really aren't that far apart genetically, so why not sexual harassment from the animal world?
Gosh, these poor women, it just sounds unbearable, and it really is no laughing matter. But apparently they've asked the government to come and deal with it, and the wildlife people, because if monkeys can tell who is a man and who is a woman, even if they're wearing hats and trousers, and especially ruining their crops, I think they're going to have to deal with this problem.
All right. Well, Ophebia, thank you for that unusual take and for all the news you bring us.
Pleasure.
NPR's Ophebia Quist-Arkton speaking with us from Dakar, Senegal.